Welcome to the Oxford Healthcare Improvement podcast series, brought to you by Dr. Daniel Morne, Medical Lead for the Centre. We have Professor Charles Vincent with us from the Experimental Psychology Department, who also works at Oxford Healthcare Improvement. Hello, Charles.
Morning, Daniel.
Great to have you with us to talk about patient safety. Perhaps you could just tell us a bit about your career.
I'm trained as a clinical psychologist a long time ago, but mostly I've spent my career in universities carrying out research, but always working with clinical colleagues in many different settings, actually. And for now, I work in mental health and I have before, but for instance, I worked in surgery and cancer in a hospital in St Mary's Hospital in London for 10 years as part of my investigations into safety.
I'm interested to talk to you today about our understandings of safety in the clinical context. When did we begin to start thinking about patient safety critically and perhaps in the clinical context, you know, what could we do to improve safety?
Yeah, I think that phrase you used, when we start critically, is very important, because obviously ever since medicine and nursing began, people have worried about making mistakes and things going wrong. But I suppose when I began, which was in the 1980s now, and people knew there were occasional disasters, but they didn't know how often things went wrong. And there was really a tendency, I think, to simply think, you know, if you're a bad doctor or something, if something went badly wrong, then that was the fault of the doctor or nurse or whoever, and that was that. But I think the most important thing is people really have very little idea of how often these things happened, large and small.
You did a landmark publication, was it in the BMJ, about the number of incidents of patient safety?
Yes, first there were studies in America which came out, didn't make so much impact at the time, about 1990, and then another study in Australia, big national studies. And then we did a similar study, much smaller, in Britain. And we found that 10% of patients going into hospital came to some sort of harm. And this was, at the time, regarded as pretty sort of staggering information, and people were pretty shocked, I think. I mean, the same in other countries. Now, not all that serious. Sometimes they're just minor things like drug reaction or a little bit of infection that passes. But some of them are very serious, as we know now much more.
So 10% of patients under our care might come to harm because of what we've done. Well, that is staggering, as you say, and something we need to take very seriously. So how's our understanding of what we can do about it? What's happened with that? Have we developed systems to think about this in a better way, or?
In some cases, yes. I think the first thing that's happened is that it's important to say that this has been now studied in many, many countries and pretty much with very similar findings. And obviously the people get much huge benefit from healthcare as well as coming to some harm. But, you know, somebody can have a very successful operation, for instance, everything goes fantastic, but during their stay they fall over or they get an infection or they get a drug reaction. It doesn't mean the whole thing's a disaster, but we haven't factored in the downside nearly enough. So the first thing is a sort of, and I suppose one success, if you like, has been now that this is much more accepted, if you like, as a reality and risk of healthcare. So there's been a big change of attitude. This is one big thing.
So if in my clinical team that I work in, how should I start thinking about patient safety? How do I tackle this 10% of harm that might be occurring during their care with my team?
Well, we don't quite know what the picture is in mental health. And I think we don't also know, it may not be a 10%, and the problems are very different. The problems are very different in the home. But I suppose the first thing, if I was going to come in, you know, as a naive observer, if you like, and I say, well, obviously you do a lot of good things for your patients. Now, tell me about the potential problems that arise in their care. So, for instance, you know, I mean, sort of long-term things would be, what are the side effects of the drugs they may get? You know, they are, when we're talking about harm, we're not necessarily talking about people making mistakes, but there are adverse effects, I know, on, you know, people's physical health, and how is that sort of risk managed? And then there are all the ordinary problems. I mean, if they're in hospital, infection control, medication errors, you know, that sort of thing. Are they at risk of falling? That then you've got the, you know, the self-harm and the, all other sorts of risks. You know, where does information go missing? Are the problems at handover, for instance, that, you know, where information, important information is not passed on? And where are the vulnerabilities in the system? These are some of the sort of questions one would ask.
So, yes, you're doing a survey of your team, thinking with other clinical experienced staff to think, what are the potential adverse issues? How are we recording these? How are we risk managing these? How are we trying to minimise these potential risks? And we'll say, I mean, say we've come up with a list of things. What do we do about them?
I suppose the next step might be to start doing things a little more formally. And we have various, obviously in healthcare, various tools and techniques, and some of which we use in the quality improvement, like process maps. And mapping out a system, as you know better than me, is a great way of examining the kind of, as I say, what I call the vulnerabilities, where things might go wrong, where you can sit with a team and say, yeah, that's a point where we often don't get that right. And another very useful way for surfacing problems is looking at incidents. And I know, which has been very important in the development of patient safety, and not just in healthcare, but in other industries, and developing, you know, systematic methods of accident analysis, which are, we could talk about a little more in a minute if you think that'd be useful.
Okay, so we start looking at the incident data and we start process mapping our system. Is this where quality improvement meets patient safety, Charles?
It could do, but probably not yet. To me, looking at lists of incidents and numbers of incidents is really not very useful for a variety of reasons. I mean, firstly, they're not a measure of what's going on because they're reported, and it's in any setting, it's all a bit random. But what is very helpful, I think, as a starting point, is to investigate and analyse the incidents. And sometimes this is done in a rather formulaic and unhelpful way, and it's become a great bureaucracy. But actually, a team can also sit down and look thoughtfully at an incident, can map the patient journey, and can look at all of where things go well, things go badly, and the wider contributory factors, you know, how well the team's working, the skills of the staff, the attitudes of the patient. And I call them a window on the system, because they reveal the points that you might worry about and might want to look at more systematically. There's a bit more to say about taking action from that. Perhaps we should go on to that.
I think perhaps what I'd like to do is say to you, what advice would you give to Oxford Health staff who want to take patient safety seriously? And, you know, what advice would you give them? Would you say come to OHI, or would you say, you know, think about doing some QI training, or where would they begin?
I think it's two things, really. I suppose we tend to think of QI project by project. I suppose one of the things that's emphasized a lot more in the safety world is trying to understand the wider system before you launch into doing a QI project. So I think looking at incidents, for instance, and process mapping, and having a general discussion about what are our priority problems and what are the things we want to achieve, what are our aspirations. And one of the problems for the incident work is that people analyze incidents and make recommendations, and you end up with hundreds of recommendations that can't be actioned. And I think what's much more important is to have a bit of a diagnosis and discussion in the unit, in your team, for instance, about the things you're worried about. Create time for that, and then work out what your thematic priorities are. Is it handover? Is it referral? You know, are you concerned about the assessment of certain types of it? Whatever it is. And then that's, you've prioritized, and I think that's where the quality improvement comes in. Once you have topics and you've began to identify the problems in some understanding and detail, then that's where you want to begin improvement projects and work with OHI and form a team and attack them. And I think it's much better to do two or three decent sized projects, you know, over time, than attempt to, you know, have an action plan with dozens and dozens of recommendations that never happen. The deeper you can go on the fundamental issues and attack those, in your improvement projects, the better.
Charles, it's just brilliant to have your experience at the centre and to hear your advice today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.